Good morning. This is Artificially Intelligent News for Sunday, August 16, 2026. I'm Mark Ellison. This program is created with AI and independently fact-checked before broadcast. We begin in Washington, where the Trump administration has asked the Supreme Court to let construction continue on a new White House ballroom while its legal appeal moves forward. The request follows lower court action that halted the project. The administration argues that the dispute should be resolved through the political process rather than through what it calls construction by injunction. Opponents have challenged the project on questions including presidential authority, the treatment of the historic White House complex, and whether the work can proceed without the approvals they say are required. The application does not decide the merits of the case. It asks the justices for emergency relief while the underlying litigation continues. That distinction matters. The court could act quickly on whether work may continue, while a fuller legal review would take longer. The administration's request is due to draw responses before the court decides whether to intervene. Emergency applications focus on short-term harm and the balance of interests while a case proceeds. They are not a vote on whether the proposed ballroom is lawful. The justices may issue a brief order or ask for more explanation, but either path would leave the larger questions for later stages of litigation. A separate election law dispute remains active as the midterm campaign moves closer. A federal judge in Boston has again blocked the administration from putting into effect parts of an executive order that sought to reshape federal involvement in mail voting and voter list maintenance. The judge found that the states and Congress, rather than the president acting alone, hold the relevant constitutional authority over election rules. The ruling also stressed the timing. The November 3rd midterms are now less than 90 days away. The administration has asked the Supreme Court to pause lower court orders blocking the changes in much of the country. Supporters of the order say it is intended to strengthen election administration and guard against improper voting. The plaintiffs and the judge say federal executive action cannot displace state authority or congressional law. For voters, the immediate practical point is that the injunction remains in place unless a higher court changes it. The legal fight also illustrates a basic feature of American elections. States run much of the machinery, from registration rolls to ballots and polling places, under rules set by state law and federal legislation. The court's near-term action would address the injunction, not establish a final nationwide election framework. In the administration's health agenda, federal officials have proposed requiring food manufacturers to notify regulators before introducing new ingredients or additives into processed and packaged foods. The proposal is aimed at changing how the Food and Drug Administration learns about substances entering the food supply. The details will matter. A proposed rule is not yet a final requirement, and it will go through the normal notice and comment process. Food companies, consumer advocates, scientists, and state regulators will all have an opportunity to weigh in. Supporters say earlier notification could give regulators better visibility. Industry groups are likely to focus on the scope, the science standards, and the compliance burden. Earlier notice would not by itself decide whether a substance is safe. It could give agency staff an earlier opportunity to evaluate the information submitted and decide whether further questions are needed. The proposal will be judged on whether it produces useful oversight without creating rules that are unclear or unnecessarily difficult to follow. President Trump has also called for childhood vaccinations to be spaced farther apart, a position that runs against guidance from major medical organizations. The standard immunization schedule is built around evidence on safety and disease protection, including the timing of risk in infancy and childhood. It is important to separate a presidential recommendation from clinical guidance. Families making vaccination decisions should consult their own clinicians and current advice from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and pediatric specialists. Any formal change in federal recommendations would involve agency processes and would be closely watched by states, schools, insurers, and health providers. On immigration, the administration is reviving a public charge rule that could affect some green card applicants who use certain public benefits, including programs such as Medicaid or food assistance. The Department of Homeland Security says it wants prospective permanent residents to demonstrate that they will not be primarily dependent on government support. Immigrant rights groups say the rule could deter eligible families from seeking basic health care or nutrition assistance. The policy also raises practical questions about which benefits count, whose use can be considered, and how officers will weigh an applicant's whole financial picture. The previous version of a similar rule prompted extensive litigation and was later rescinded, so court challenges are likely again. There is also fresh attention on immigration enforcement at domestic airports. Reuters has reported a rise in arrests by immigration agents at airports, including the detention of a Johns Hopkins researcher as she prepared to take a domestic flight. The administration says it is enforcing immigration law. Civil liberties advocates and universities have raised questions about due process, the impact on researchers and students, and what travelers should expect when flying within the country. The individual facts of each case matter, and an arrest does not by itself establish the outcome of an immigration proceeding. At the White House, Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt is scheduled to leave the administration at the end of this month. President Trump announced the change this week and said she plans to spend more time with her family. A press secretary is a central public messenger for any administration, managing daily briefings and responding to disputes across policy, politics, and foreign affairs. The White House has not yet publicly detailed the full transition plan. The departure comes during a period when the administration is managing court fights at home and difficult diplomacy abroad. One weather item deserves a brief mention this morning. The Storm Prediction Center has placed parts of the Ohio Valley, Central Appalachians, Mid-Atlantic, and Central High Plains under a slight risk of severe thunderstorms today. Damaging wind gusts are the primary concern, with large hail and isolated severe storms also possible in parts of the plains. A slight risk is not a forecast that every community will see severe weather. It means the ingredients are in place for scattered severe storms. If you are in the affected areas, keep alerts enabled, know where you would shelter from damaging wind or hail, and check your local National Weather Service forecast before outdoor plans. Turning overseas, the most consequential development remains the confrontation involving the United States and Iran. As of this morning, the two sides remain far apart over the conflict and the Strait of Hormuz. Iranian officials have said the waterway will remain under Tehran's control unless the United States accepts its conditions. President Trump has urged Americans to prepare for continuing high gasoline prices and has described the pressure campaign as part of preventing Iran from obtaining a nuclear weapon. The Strait of Hormuz is a narrow but critical route for global oil shipments. When tanker movement is disrupted, the effects reach well beyond the Gulf. They appear in crude prices, fuel costs, shipping and insurance rates, and the broader inflation outlook. That is why this is both a foreign policy crisis and a daily economic concern for American households. Shipping patterns are a concrete indicator to watch. A political statement can signal intent, but normal commercial transit also depends on risk assessments by ship owners, insurers, crews, and governments. If vessels continue rerouting or delaying voyages, the disruption can last even when no new formal restriction is announced. There is no announced breakthrough in talks. Iran's president has acknowledged the conflict's economic strain inside Iran, while the United States and its partners continue to press Tehran. The most responsible way to read the situation is that it remains fluid. Public statements from both sides are far apart, and claims of progress should be judged by verifiable changes in talks, security conditions, and shipping traffic. In Europe, Ukraine has proposed a limited halt to attacks on civilian targets in the Black Sea, including vessels and ports, as fighting and strikes have raised fears for shipping and food supplies. Reuters reports that Russia has rejected the proposal, arguing that it would give Ukraine a temporary advantage. The Black Sea is central to Ukraine's ability to move agricultural exports. Attacks or threats against ports and commercial shipping can affect not only Ukraine's economy, but grain availability and prices in countries that depend on those supplies. The proposal is not a comprehensive peace plan. It is a narrower attempt to protect civilian infrastructure and maritime trade through the coming winter. Russia's rejection means the danger to shipping remains. Any future agreement would require credible terms, communication between the parties, and a way to monitor compliance. For now, the wider war continues, and the humanitarian cost has remained high. The United Nations reported that July brought its highest monthly civilian casualty total in Ukraine since the early period of Russia's full-scale invasion. Now to the economy. Because this is Sunday, the most recent completed regular U.S. stock market session was Friday, August 14th. These are final closing figures, not futures or intraday prices. The Dow Jones Industrial Average fell 107.58 points, or 0.2%, to close at 53,732.41. The S&P 500 declined 13.23 points, also 0.2%, to finish at 7,785.76. The Nasdaq Composite dropped 73.86 points, or 0.3%, closing at 26,729.16. The pullback came after the S&P had set a record the day before. Friday's trading reflected a tension investors have been confronting for weeks. Weaker consumer data can support the case for lower interest rates, but it can also point to slower economic growth. The Census Bureau's latest retail sales report was a focal point. The report indicated that shoppers spent less in July than in June. Retail sales are an early, imperfect measure and are revised over time, but consumer spending is a major part of the U.S. economy. A softer figure, therefore, carries more weight when energy prices are moving higher and inflation has not fully disappeared as a concern. Retail sales do not capture every form of household spending, and the monthly figures can move with categories such as vehicles and gasoline. Even so, they are closely watched because they provide a timely read on activity at stores, restaurants, and online merchants. Analysts will be looking for confirmation or reversal in the next reports. Oil added to Friday's uncertainty. Brent crude rose as the conflict around Iran and the Strait of Hormuz continued to threaten normal tanker traffic. Higher oil prices can eventually feed into gasoline transportation and business costs. That does not guarantee any one future inflation reading, but it complicates the Federal Reserve's task. Policymakers must judge whether weakness in demand calls for easier policy or whether energy-driven inflation could persist. For context, July's consumer price data were released Wednesday and the producer price report followed Thursday. Investors will continue parsing those reports, the July jobs data, fuel prices, and the next round of retail and housing indicators. The market story is not simply that stocks fell on Friday. It is that investors are weighing slowing consumer momentum against still important inflation and energy risks. In sports, the NFL preseason gave Buffalo a useful early look at its offense. The Bills beat the Carolina Panthers 29-14 at Highmark Stadium. Josh Allen connected with Keon Coleman for a 9-yard touchdown on Buffalo's opening scoring drive, and the Bills built a lead that held through the second half. Preseason results do not count in the standings, and coaches use these games to evaluate players, manage workloads, and test combinations. Still, a clean opening sequence from key players can matter for a team with Buffalo's expectations. The Bills are coming off another high-pressure offseason and will be looking for consistency around Allen as the regular season approaches. The touchdown was an early positive moment, but preseason evaluation is broader than the opening unit. Coaches will review execution across special teams, the offensive line, and reserve roles before setting the roster and preparing for games that count. Chicago also made a strong first impression in its exhibition opener, defeating Cleveland 34-10. The Rams beat the Chiefs 20-12 in Kansas City, and Minnesota edged the Giants 13-10. Those games are mainly auditions and preparation, but the depth chart decisions that emerge over the next 2 weeks will carry into September. Baseball's most notable result came in Los Angeles, where the Milwaukee Brewers beat the Dodgers 4-1. The Brewers entered the matchup with the National League's best record, while the Dodgers remained one of the league's elite clubs. That made a mid-August game more meaningful than its place on the calendar might suggest. Milwaukee's victory reinforced how little room there is at the top of the National League. The Brewers have paired strong regular season form with a roster that has kept winning against quality opponents. For the Dodgers, the loss is not a verdict on a season, but it is another reminder that postseason positioning can turn on every series once the calendar reaches late summer. The stretch run is beginning to take shape. Division leaders are trying to protect their advantage, while clubs on the edge of the playoff picture have fewer opportunities to recover from a poor week. With 6 weeks remaining in the regular season after this weekend, series between contenders now carry a sharper feel. Here is the quick results board from Saturday. In the NFL preseason, Buffalo beat Carolina 29-14, Chicago defeated Cleveland 34-10, the Los Angeles Rams won at Kansas City 20-12. In Major League Baseball, Milwaukee beat the Dodgers 4-1. Arizona defeated Atlanta 10-3, a significant result in a matchup of National League contenders. And in entertainment, the final season of Outer Banks is among this weekend's major streaming arrivals. The series has built a large young audience around its North Carolina-set treasure hunt story, and its final run gives Netflix one of its recognizable returning titles at a competitive moment for streaming. There is also a new Anthony Hopkins classical album and the Anne Hathaway film Mother Mary in the current entertainment conversation. Hathaway plays a pop star in the film, which has drawn attention as part of a notably busy year for her on screen. The larger takeaway is familiar. Studios and streaming services are continuing to rely on a mix of established franchises, recognizable stars, music events, and prestige projects to compete for attention. That is the briefing for this Sunday. Follow Artificially Intelligent News and share this calm morning summary with one person who would value it. I'm Mark Ellison. Thanks for listening.